Diary fragments, January to June. California, Michigan. January 1st, 1901 to June 6th, 1901. January 1st, 1901. St. Helena, California. It has been a very, very cold night. Bed clothing could scarcely keep me warm. My flesh seemed more like marble than human flesh. The water pipes have been in danger. One is frozen and burst in sanitarium. I am much encouraged that the work in San Francisco is, we believe, deepening. Especially is this the case in Oakland. The whole force connected with the office seems to be deeply impressed by the Spirit of God. We left Oakland December 21st and returned December 30th. Another year has passed into eternity. This is the first day of January, 1901. I am not feeling at all well. February 23, 1901, St. Helena, California. Friday evening, February, Reverend, 22nd, we assembled together to have our usual season of prayer. I was much perplexed to know what decisions I should make in regard to my abiding place in Battle Creek. I laid my case before the Lord, and my soul was drawn out in most earnest, wrestling prayer for light and to know the will of God as to my duty. Dr. Kellogg was the first to invite me, and I had felt it was the right thing to do to accept his kind invitation. Will the Lord instruct me in this matter? While praying, I seemed to be surrounded by pure atmosphere of light, and a voice sweet as music said, "Respect the courtesy of my servant, John Kellogg the physician, by my appointment. He needs encouragement that you can give him. Let him put his trust in me. My arm is strong to uphold and to sustain. He may safely lean upon my strength. I have a work for him to do. He must not fail nor be discouraged, but work as I shall appoint him." April 1st, 1901. Battle Creek, Michigan. I awake, and my soul is drawn out after God. I plead in most earnest prayer for the Lord to give me strength to bear my testimony. Oh, I know not what will be the result. Such a condition of things has existed and still exists that in every conference there is need of most earnest labor. But who is sufficient for these things? We are attending the conference in Battle Creek. It is a mammoth gathering. The tabernacle is full and gallery crowded, steps to the gallery crowded, and the auditorium crowded. The classrooms are opened and crowded. General conference session was held April 1st to 23rd at Battle Creek. April 1901, Battle Creek. Today I spoke, both in the morning and the afternoon, upon the Southern missionary work. Late in the afternoon, I spoke to the missionaries going to foreign countries, many of whom were to leave the next day. The Lord gave me much freedom. This was to me a very solemn occasion. Probably I shall never see these friends again until time has ended and the trump of God calls the dead from their graves. My prayers shall ascend to God that these dear souls who are going to their appointed fields of service may have that spiritual sinew and muscle which will enable them to do excellent work for the Master. This entry from MS 60, 1901, page 1. April 28, 1901, Battle Creek, Michigan. I praised the Lord this morning. I rested well last night. I spoke in the tabernacle yesterday and was afraid that I should not rest. After breakfast, I called on my children and my nephew and family. I was invited to ride out with Edson, Brother Kilgore, and Brother Palmer in Brother Palmer's easy carriage. We drove to Bedford, and it was about noon when we returned. In the afternoon, Sister Haskell called on me and told me that Sister Breed was very sick, that she seemed almost beside herself for fear that the Lord had left her, and that she thought that she and her husband were being transferred to Walla Walla because they had done something wrong. On Friday, Sister Breed came to see me. She was very nervous. I assured her that she and her husband were not being transferred because they had done wrong, but she would not be pacified. On Friday, I wrote her a letter of courage to inspire her with hope. Sarah read her this letter, and then I went to her room and prayed with her. She and her husband then went for a drive with Sister Peck, while I went to the sanitarium and spoke to the patients. I had freedom in speaking words of encouragement and in presenting Christ as our hope and joy and salvation. All seemed to listen with interest, and when I finished speaking, many came forward to introduce themselves to me. One, a minister from Boulder, and another, a minister from Chicago. As I shook hands with those to whom I was introduced, they told me they had received great help and listened to the words spoken. Sister Breed was so thankful for the ride. Her husband was almost broken-hearted over her condition, but we hope that she is now relieved and that the blessing of the Lord is felt by them both. April 29, 1901.
Last night I slept only 1 hour, and I very much fear for my health and strength. I was instructed during the night that certain contracts which have been presented to be signed are not after the Lord's order. When I was in Australia, cautions were given me that no confederacy was to be entered into. These contracts are supposed by Dr. Kellogg to be a necessity, but they are not. The future is to be adjusted by God. If these agreements are signed, they will, in the future, be felt as a yoke of bondage, which God does not require His people to wear. This is to be a time of breaking yokes, not of manufacturing them. God alone is to be our guide. He is to direct as to what shall be done with His property. He has ordered and directed His work in the past, and He will do so in the future. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and He shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. Isaiah 58, verse 6, 8-10. This entry from MS 61, 1901. We left St. Helena, Sarah and I, in the morning with our horse and carriage on our way to Vallejo. We took the ferry boat and left the horse and carriage to come next morning. The cars brought us to Oakland. We traveled 35 miles. I was so weak and used up, it seemed that I never should become rested. My brain was weary, and my throat was giving me trouble. I was glad to be in the open air. Oh, how wearisome everything was! We found two nice rooms prepared for us, which were well furnished. We came direct on streetcars, only walking a short distance. My throat was sore, but I had some conversation with Brother Jones. But my throat became painful. Sister White's letters indicate that she was in Oakland from June 5th until after June 20th. A camp meeting was held there June 4th to 16th. The Review and Herald, May 14th, 1901, page 318. Thursday afternoon, June 6th, I spoke to a large number of people. I presented before them the work to be carried forward in our churches, speaking from John 17, the last prayer of Christ, showing them possibilities and probabilities. There is great danger of the churches becoming like the world. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Verse 3. The church is in need of the reviving influence of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to sound an alarm for Christ's sake and try to present before the people of God the Bible claims to stir up pure minds by way of remembrance. The world is, we fear, converting the church into conformity to its practices. The message of warning is to come out from the world and to be separate, else love of display, love of fashion, will weaken the church. Many never have been truly converted. Therefore they take on the form of godliness and do not respect the truth which, if brought into practice, will sanctify the soul. He that will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16, verse 24. There is a tendency to bring down religion to the low level of a respectable materialism. All who trust in the Lord and go forward will find their path is growing brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. A healthy, living church becomes thus through the soul's grasp of that truth which works by love and sanctifies the soul. But why is there not a cheerful recognition of God?